I want to talk today about, you got to quit looking. That's the name of the Bible study. Now get your heads out of the ditch. The name of this Bible study is you have got to quit looking at what? What your eyes see. And you've got to start looking at things with your spiritual eyes. And you got to quit listening to what your ears hear. And you got to start listening to what God speaks. Amen? If you can't get this right, you ain't getting the rest of your life right. I'm going to tell you today that there have been many that have said that I can't do this, I can't do that. They tell me, to this day, there are naysayers that will tell me, no, get real, you can't do that, watch me. Watch me. You know why? Because I am a king and one of God's priests. Right? And if He puts it inside of me, I can do it. Amen. Amen. I have no limitations, nor will I be limited by people with limitations. Did you get that? A child of the King has no limitations. But if he listens to people that are around them with limitations, he will limit himself. You gotta quit looking, and you gotta quit listening. There are many naysayers in this world. They are full of negativity. Do not listen to negativity. Negativity. Don't do it. Listen to God. Listen to His Word. Listen to what He has to say. You can do it in Christ. All things are possible in Christ. You get it? I will not listen because it is not true. What comes out of a man's lips is a lie. What comes out of God's lips is the truth. Amen? It's like boxing. I'm not in fear of boxing. You understand? But it doesn't accomplish nothing. You understand? I mean, anybody, little or big, can scrap. So what? We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but spiritual powers of darkness. So if you scrap with somebody, all you're doing is making them mad. Even if they win, they still ain't listening to you. If they lose, they ain't listening to you. So it's lose-lose. Right? So what you've got to do is you've got to listen to your spiritual person tell you how to go through that situation. Right? So you can't listen to their woof-woof and take it in and get upset and thump them. Or be thumped. I've had some heroes come in here and say, well, Brother Dominic, I've never been whooped yet. Well, you probably never fought much. Or maybe you went to a school where you were the senior and everybody else was less. Amen? I'm going to tell you, there's always somebody bigger and badder on the pile. Amen? I don't care where you're at. You start giving a little guy a hard time and you start whooping up on him, he's going to take out a blade and gut you. He's going to win. You understand? So you got to quit looking at things in the physical. You got to quit listening to those physical naysayers. There are many people that would tell me I cannot do what God has already told me to do, but their name is not God. Right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what's my job? To be in Christ. You understand? What's your job? Quit trying to accomplish things on your own and accomplish the only thing that you can do in yourself, which is to get close to God. What is your job? To be in Christ. Amen? And when you are in Christ, then all things are possible. But whose job is it to get in Christ? Yours. Do you understand? See, we miss it. We're all striving to do things in our own strength. But you need to strive to be in Christ's strength. Right? We're all trying to do it on our own. But on our own, we can't do nothing. So we got to be in Him who can do everything. Why do I know I can do anything He tells me to do? Because why would He tell me to do it if I couldn't do it? Now listen to me. It's important you learn what God would have you to do. You've got to study 2 Peter chapter 1 and make your calling sure. Right? What is your calling? Well, number one, above all, before you get really in depth and spiritual, I mean, clean your act up. I mean, I can guarantee that that's the first thing. You got to die to your pride issues. You would not be upset with people calling you names if you had already died to your pride. You get it? So you got to get there. Now, it's not that I don't flare once in a while. It's not that sometimes people don't get to me. But I just flare and come back to center. Right? Why? Because I remember what I'm going to teach on, and I've taught on it before. It's 2 Corinthians 10. Amen? 2 Corinthians 10. And let me tell you something. That what I preach, I walk. And what you know, you need to learn to walk. Right? Are you getting that? See, a lot of you know things, but you don't live those things you know. You have got to take and put feet to the Word of God. Right? The Word of God cannot just be the Word. It's got to be your life. You have got to read it, believe it, and act on it. You get it? Father, I just ask this morning, God, that You just touch us. That it be right now today, Lord, that You touch us in such a way that You are glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. It says, now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. What's he saying? Look, by the mercy of God's grace, I am asking you to take what I have to say as good medicine for your life. Right? But I'm doing it in meekness, but you need to do it irrelevant. You need to just do it. Right? But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now, I'm going to sit there and tell you that I've had people in this program that are kind of big. I mean, I get them. And they're trying to use intimidation techniques on me. How many people know what I'm talking about? I'm sitting there, I'm in their face, breaking one off with the Word of God, and they're puffing up like that lizard thing. You ever seen that lizard thing on one of those TV programs, you know? They sit there and they're sitting there like this, and you can watch me offending them, and before you know it, they're like this. You know, give me the look like I care. I assure you, I don't care. And there ain't nobody you met and nobody you know that's going to make me care. You get it? So save it. What he's saying is, don't look at me in my flesh. Look at me through the Spirit of God. Right? I'm not going to match you intimidation for intimidation. Right? I am going to speak life into you, whether you like it or not. It's not my job to like it. It's your job to like it. And if you don't like it, remember what your job is. To like it. Because I said I'm going to speak life into you. But what he's saying is, take this letter and listen to it now so I don't got to come over and publicly humiliate you, because I will when I get there if you don't change. There's a lot of people, I'll sit there and I'll tell them once or twice, you know, maybe around the corner, look, you need to correct this. Look, you need to correct this. Look, you need to correct this. And then when they don't do what they're supposed to do, I jack them publicly. Amen. Why? Because there's a time and a place that you only know in the Lord that where you're supposed to correct people in a way that they will understand first. And if they don't receive it, then it says, rebuke openly amongst the brethren so that others might fear. And if you're way out of line, I'm going to do it to you the first time. In a way that everybody's going to go, ooh. Why? Because I am to follow scripturally true things in my life. And so are you. Amen? All right, here we go. So it says, but I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. You see, a lot of you guys are still judging me according to your street sense. You're sizing me up. You know what I mean? You're looking at me going, was he a contender or not? You're wondering, how many people want to be honest and say that you've gone through those things? We all have. Amen? But I'm sitting here telling you, you don't have a clue who I really am when you are doing those kinds of things. You understand? Because I am your spiritual mentor and authority, and it has nothing to do if I'm a fat, dumpy old man or a thin, spry young man. It don't matter. Because the physical thing, it does not matter in the spiritual realm. Right? And what he's saying is, don't look at me like that. Because if you were to hear a description of Paul, he was a short, bow-legged, bald-headed, skinny man. With a squeaky voice. Hey, how you doing? So when he spoke, and when his presence was with people, they looked at him in the flesh, and they went... Do not despise the things of God. Do not use your carnal eyes to see the truth. Use your spiritual eyes. Amen? And what he's saying is that I will come and I will rebuke you openly with much fervor if you do not correct yourself before you get there. And I don't care how big you are. Why? Because he's operating in God's authority. You know, when I do pick leaders here, I do not pick leaders because of their size, nor their color, nor their physical attributes. You understand? I pick leaders for their love of God. Right? Because the love of God is what's going to make a godly leader great. Not those other attributes, including the intellect, which usually battles those the most that are trying to be leaders in God. Because they're so stinking smart, they become stupid. Amen? Because they're trying to logic everything away instead of their spiritual being speaking the truth and them just listening. Are you following me here today? So you got to quit looking at things in the natural. That's why I'm telling you today that if you aren't married, then do not even think about girls until you can look at them as your sister in Christ. Or guys as your brothers in Christ. Do not, because you are still looking incorrectly. You are still thinking incorrectly. Until you get to that point, you are not mature enough to have a mate. What? Well, I thought it says, it's better to marry than to burn. Well, let's work on you not having to do either. You get it? Because if you marry the wrong one, you might as well burn. Because you're going to burn all your life. Amen, Dominic. Good preaching. I'm trying to be real with you, right? In verse 3 it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. What does that mean? I'm in this dirt bag. How come do I call it a dirt bag? Because that's what it is. Right? You come and look at it in about 1,000 years and you'll just see a little pile of dust, dirt. Right? So why is it that we let our dirt bag lead our lives? Do you really think that all you are is this chunk of flesh that you walk around in. I assure you, you are much, much more than that. And that's what you need to pay attention to. So it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Let me tell you something. You can be the best boxer, but somebody's better. You can be the best Karate Joe, but somebody's better. Amen? You can be the guy that almost wins them all, but there's always somebody that's going to win. Right? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I got some bad news for the Karate Joes out there. I watch Karate Joe movies because I find much humor in them. And as a matter of fact, I took 3 years of Aikido because that was my worldly way of trying to get a hang on my temper. Because I had a bad temper, put me in prison, got sick of that. Wanted to stay out of prison. I didn't want nothing to do with God, but I wanted to learn to control my anger. Right? So I decided that, okay, I'll take Aikido, which is the way of the hands, which is just another Karate Joe technique. Got pretty good at it, did okay, went back to prison, no good. And I got bad news for you. The fact is, the fastest Karate Joe can't outrun one bullet. Bang, bang, over. All Karate Joe gone away. You see, you got to play long-term battle. You got to plan your long-term battle. You got to equip yourself for the long-term battle because you're going to be in battle all your life. You know, it's like that one song, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." You know, there's so many worship songs that are not even close to scripturally correct. And that's another one. You are in warfare in your life. Aren't you? Haven't you wrestled with the devil? But what's all this crap about the battle belongs to the Lord? Lord. No, the Lord has equipped you. But do you know what the equipment is? Do you understand? The Lord has given you the weapons to fight. But do you use them? You see, the truth is that you need to know the weapons of your warfare and you need to fully equip yourself for warfare because God already won His war. But you're going to be in battle for Him as long as you're here. So that song about the battle belongs to the Lord is in the end scripturally incorrect. Do you get it? Why? Because you're going to be in battle. You're going to be in war. Amen? I just, the last few nights, I've been going through some serious things of a spiritual nature. And, you know, the Lord's been kind of speaking to me a little bit. And what it is there is always an attack coming against the church from somewhere. Always. All right? Always. So what do? Get down on your knees and go, "Oh, God, help me, help me, help me." No. No. You get equipped to fight the battle. You learn what you need to know to win it. Right? Now, a lot of people will sit there and they'll go into a spiritual war and they'll lose it because they do not know the weapons of their warfare. They have not prayed and put a cover on them during the day. Amen? They get up late and they're more concerned about their Cheerios and getting lots of them than they are praying. Hello. Cheerios are important, but praying is more important. They don't know how to rebuke properly. They don't know how to counteract the insurgency program of the devil. Amen? They feel the waves of fear coming across them, which is one of the attacks that the devil will bring. I said, will bring. And they're scared and they think it's them that's scared instead of recognizing the wiles of the devil. Right? How many people have been laying in bed or whatever in that half sleep, half awake mode and felt the devils just leap on them and seize them up where they can't even speak? Huh? So we're not in battle. What the hey is that? That's a direct attack in my book. Amen? So what do? You form one word in your mind. And that mind and that name is Jesus.
Amen.
And then you work. And even though you feel the waves of fear, remember the waves of fear that come with that? It's the same. It's always the same. He's dumber than a box of rocks. He got no new tricks, but you're dumber than his box of rocks. Why? Because you don't know what to do. Amen? So what do? You form the word Jesus in your mind, and then you speak it, and then you get up and you start prophesying that devil's future. You rebuke, you bind, and you cast him out. You don't fall down on your knees and hide like this. Oh God. Heck no. You get out, and with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, you cast that sucker out. Amen? You see, you got to get to a place where you recognize the weapons of your warfare, you know what they are, and you use them. You become familiar with them. If you've used guns before, when you first get a piece, you're not that good a shot. But after practice, you get better, and you get better, and you get better, and you get better. But mostly, you need to practice. You're already good at being carnal. You're already good at imitating cool. You're already good at communicating gossip. You're already good at talking smack. So quit that. And start practicing the weapons of your warfare, which are not carnal, but mighty in for pulling down strongholds. You know, people, you cannot do it on your own. You got to be in Christ. So what's your job? I told you. In Christ. And when you're in Christ, you're learning the truth. You're being equipped for the battle you're going to go through in your life. If it wasn't a battle, I wouldn't feel it. And I feel it, and I'm ready. I'm at the point, every time that stinking jumps on me, that stinking demon slew-filled sucker jumps on me, that I just start to laugh at him. And it's been a long time, but he still does it once in a while. But when he jumps on me and seizes me up, I've always been like that. Whenever I know things are going to go to crap, I start smiling. It's just my nature. Because I'm ready. I was ready to get it in the world, and I'm ready to get it in the Spirit. Once I learn the truth. Since there jumps on me, I start laughing at him. Why? Some stinking slew-footed devil anyway. Can't you do anything new? Come on! But the only reason I can be like that is because I've learned some things. I've become equipped. I've learned what the weapons of my warfare are. You know, one of the biggest things he's going to throw at you is frustration. And you suck for it! That's one of his weapons he uses against the church all the time. Oh, God. Oh, yeah, that other big one. Worry. Okay, let's worry. And you suck for it all the time. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, which means just consider yourself inept at thinking for him. Because you are. Right? Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll get you where you need to go. Quit trying to make your own path. You understand? Have you listened to the scriptures coming out of my mouth and stuff? That's the sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God. If you're going to fight a battle, you must be equipped. And you must be equipped not with psychology, right? Not with history, but with the Word of God in your life, active and alive, hidden away so that at a moment's notice, you're so familiar with it, when that stinking slew foot shows up, you just... You're out of here. Next time, bring back your big brother. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? You've got to get equipped. You've got to get out of your flesh. You've got to quit thinking that's what's going to make it. You've got to quit looking at people like they're your enemy. The spirit inside of them may be your enemy, but people are not your enemy. You know, I love these guys. I miss Rick because I used to get to jab him all the time. He's the guy that was with me for just a little while. And, you know, he had the walk. You know, ladies, if you ever see a guy walk like this, how does it go? Oh, yeah. Don't worry, he don't love you. He loves himself. I was telling one guy the other day, he's not here no more. He's always strutting. I could watch him, you know. He's throwing his hair around. Pride! Love of self. He ain't got enough room in him, neither one of them, to get Jesus inside. They're all filled up with themselves. Are you getting it? You got to listen to me. You got to listen to me. You need to be equipped. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Amen? Are you getting the picture? It's important. You know, people, you are always trying to fight it on your own. You're always trying to think your way out of it. You're always trying to make your own path, and that's your biggest booger you can make. You got to trust God. God is the only way. God has written His Word so that you can be equipped. God has showed you through this how you can live in victory. God has consistently shown you again and again how inadequate you are in your flesh and how adequate you are in Him. You got to get in Him. Your job is to get in Him and get away from yourself. I run from things I dwell on that are of the world. You know why I don't have a motorcycle right now? Besides, God won't let me have one. Which is a pretty darn good reason, I must say. If I had a motorcycle right now, on a summer day, I probably wouldn't be here. I would get up, kick that baby off, and I'd be gone. And I'd give you my same old line I used to give everybody. I'll see you in the fall, if I see you at all. I had all those things down in practice. I told my whole family that's what I... And it was like clockwork. Spring comes, voila, voila, voila. I go to my job, I go, double check me, brother. What? Double check me. Right? I'd take all that money, whatever I'd made, and I'd run with it all year until the fall, and then I'd go get a job again because it was getting cold. I run from things that would keep me away from doing God's work. I stay away from people that would take and occupy my time on things that are not of God. Have you ever noticed in the church there's always people that got to talk to time? They're always talking about the same problems. They're always talking about the same things. They never grow up, but they like to talk. I run from those people. I call them time bandits. Right? There was a show on years ago, I don't know, a long years, time bandits. Right? What does it mean? A time bandit is somebody that really don't have nothing to do except for rob my time. They don't really want to fix themselves. They just want to talk about their problem a long time and make you try to feel bad for them so you console them so they feel like they're not wasting their life, which they are. And I let them waste their life and I get on with mine. Amen? Amen? I stay away from people like that. I stay next to people that challenge me to grow. Amen? I spend my time around people that their goals are the same as mine, which is to grow. Are you hearing me? I spent, like, I don't know what you guys did yesterday, but I probably got 2 or 3 hours in the Word of God. Solid. I was like in heaven. I'm going, oh, glory, glory, glory. I know a lot of you guys were eating and whatever and sleeping, and but that's okay. And you know, you got to eat, you got to sleep. But you know what? Above all things, you need to be equipped. You need to be equipped. And the way you're equipped is through the Word of God. And I don't want to talk about the Word of God. I don't want to, you know, although I teach the Word of God, I don't want to discuss. I don't want to have panels of people discussing points and issues. I want the Word of God unbridled, unleashed inside of me. And that is what equips me for my job. The rest of this goes on like this. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, this is your job. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. But first you must have knowledge of God before you're going to know what to cast down. Amen? You got to have knowledge of God before you cast out those thoughts that would drag you down. Amen? You got to get this. So casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What does that mean? You think wrong. Sometimes I have to rebuke myself. I'm just telling you, sometimes I rebuke my own stinking thoughts. Where the hell did that come? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I cast you down and out of here. I am the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath. Whatever I put my hand to, I shall prosper. I will not delegate my life to this minuscule thing you are showing me. I am going to elevate my life to the glory that God has promised me. Amen? You got to learn to do this. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know what, people? One of my jobs is to be obedient because I'm supposed to punish disobedience for God's glory. You better get this. People are going, don't judge me. Why are you like that? This, that. Well, because I have scriptural basis for everything I do. If you think you can get away with stuff, you're going to keep getting away with it. It's called human nature. There is a price that you will pay whenever you are disobedient because you need to learn not to be disobedient. Amen?
Amen.
And when you become obedient, then my job will fall into your lap. See, someday, here, let me tell you what the biggest glory I have in this job. I'm going to tell you, this excites me so much, it just tickles my inner soul. Those people that despise what I say the most, if they love God, within 5 or 6 years sound just like me. It's so cool. It really is. They're sitting there, man, how come you're like that, man? Give me a break. Man. 5 or 6 years later, hey, you, edifying. What was edifying about that? But you see, he's the same one that I was asking what was edifying about that. You get it? Because the beauty is the Word of God is a leveler. It's the same for everybody. Everybody, if they love God and study the Word, hits an even plane. Have you ever noticed that? Have you seen it? Why? Because we are His people, and as we mature, we become His whole people. Amen. Verse 7 says, do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Remember what I told you about Paul? Do you remember what I told you? But I'm going to tell you, he was one of the greatest men of God that ever lived. Are you hearing me? You better get over your judgmental thoughts as you're looking through your eyes. Catherine Kuhlman, I think, is one of the greatest ladies I've ever known of in my life. And she was a stinking, bony, thin, featherweight, frail, one of them lofty voices and stuff things. I mean, to listen to her cracked me up. But did God mightily use that woman? Amen? And Paul was short, bald-headed, bow-legged, skinny, and talked like this. And I'm telling you, he was one of the greatest men that ever lived. You have got to, and I'm closing, get over looking at people at face value. Amen? And you have got to start looking at people in spiritual truth. You know, if you guys are still judging me by my outside, don't get me wrong, I've been around. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to deny that. But what I'm telling you is what you see with your eyes is not important. What you see and hear with your spiritual ears and eyes is the thing that's supposed to be touching you. And the only way it's going to touch you is if you quit using these eyeballs in your flesh and start using your spiritual eyes, and you quit using your ears in your flesh and you start to use your spiritual ears so that you can be equipped for the ministry of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me here today? I want you to get this, that you have got to quit looking at people by the outward appearance. And you've got to learn to look inside and see the inward truth. There are some people that appear to be spiritual giants because they talk a lot and they even have a lot of scriptures in them. But the truth is, you need to hear with the spiritual ears and you need to see with the spiritual eyes, because there are wolves in sheep's clothing walking around today that are in three-piece Italian suits, looking fine, leading a bunch of people to the pit. You understand? You have got to get yourself to a place where you rightly divide the word of truth, that you rightly perceive truth, that you got discernment in your life, and that all your weapons are loaded. And I'm going to close one more time. When you get saved, God takes a gun to salvation and puts it in your hand. But there's no bullets in it. So you got a club. Well, club don't really reach out. Barely protects you. What you've got to do is you've got to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and get it inside. And now you have bullets to put into your gun. And now you have the training you need to aim and fire that gun. You see, there is a battle going on. But the battle is not physical. It is spiritual. And you need to be spiritually equipped for everything. I'm going to close this last time. When people are giving me a hard time, I go to my dad and get on my knees. And I pray and ask him for direction in my life. You understand? And he will speak to me. And he will speak to you. Sometimes he tells me just stay there and pray for him. Sometimes he tells me to go do something else. Sometimes he'll tell me whatever. But you need to seek your Father in every situation, for every situation you encounter. Amen? I'm going to tell you right now, that I have sat there and not only in this ministry, but ministries that I was in before this one, people in the church itself came against me. And I wanted to do my normal thing, which is walk over and rip off their heads. I would have felt better for a minute, and I could have done it. You understand? But that's the me. That's not God. But God showed me to pray Proverbs 55, 56, and 57 continuously for them people. And if you'll read those, it's all about those that say they're your friends, that say they're your partners, that say they're your brothers, that say they're your sisters, that in reality are backstabbers. Amen? And so I did that with all of them. And every one of them have gone away. And I never had to raise my hand, nor raise my voice, nor defend myself in any way. Are you getting that? You need to learn these kinds of things in order to operate successfully in the Lord. Because the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty in Him for pulling down strongholds. And He is able to reach across a hallway and to reach across the world to bring these things to come to pass. But you are to concentrate on what you're supposed to do, which is be in Christ. And then when you are in Christ, stay there. And now all things are possible and you will be fully equipped for whatever God has chosen for your life. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you today for your word. God, I thank you because it's so clean to me. It makes so much sense, Lord. But I know, Lord, that there's many people in this room that this all sounds foreign and hokey and all the rest of that. But God, I just ask that you teach them the truth that they are looking for so that we might be wholly a part of what you'd have us to be in the way you'd have us to be. God, I ask today that you equip these people for the battle we go through on a daily basis. Because, Lord, it is a battle, regardless of the song. We know we have a victory if we stay in you. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everyone says, Amen.
For further information about the Bad Organization, please write to us at The Bad Organization, P.O. Box 26867, Los Angeles, California, 90026. Or you may call us at 213-207-2750, extension 166, Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Or contact us on the net at discipleship@dreamcenter.net. We pray that you have been richly blessed by God through this message.